Welcome to the Mind Your Brain podcast, where I bring you inside the mind of the best athletes in the world, so you can understand the mental secrets of their success. My guest today is 22 years old, Shivan Hogay. She's from Hong Kong and one of the fastest swimmers in the world. She got a gold medal at the World Junior before moving up the ranks of elite swimming to make it to the Olympics in 2016. She's also an accomplished student who specialized in clinical psychology for children. Therefore, she understands the importance of a fit and healthy mind. I hope you enjoy this episode where I dive deep and personal into Shivan's mind. So please feel free to share and take a second to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss the next episode. And sounds welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much. Actually, you're like spot on time, 11:45. Are you always on time like that?
I try to be.
Well, I mean, in your sport, it's all about like a fraction of a second, right?
Yeah, so definitely.
I guess time is something you have in mind constantly.
Yeah, our sport is a very time-based sport, and so everything I do, it's like based on time.
All right, so thank you so much for being with me today. I was kind of like expected that we could see each other because we are actually very close. I've interviewed a lot of athletes who are like technically on the other side of the globe, but you are like so close, but unfortunately, considering the situation in Hong Kong, we can't meet. But
yeah,
that's the closest thing we can have.
Yeah, at least we could still talk and with technology these days. So this is the next best option, I guess.
Yes, exactly. So today I want to discuss with you about the mind. I want to discuss with you about everything around the mental training, the mental conditioning. And I'm like so happy to do that with you because I learned that you are studying psychology.
Yeah.
And I understand that you want to work with kids as well.
Yes. So I studied university in the US, and I was originally planning to do sports psychology, but then unfortunately my college, they didn't offer sports psychology classes. So I just started taking general intro psychology classes, and I realized I was really interested in kids and child development, and that's how I started studying all these courses. And yeah, hopefully after I'm done with swimming, I get to work with kids and to do something that's related to psychology.
So how did you get into psychology? Because I see a lot of athletes who are more on the, I would say, on the body side, on the medical side, like physio and stuff like that. And I think it's really cool to have you in this field, because I believe that people know that they have to take care of their body, but they are not so much aware that they have to take care of their mind. So having someone like you who knows a bit about the field, I'm super excited. So how did you get into this field?
I've always been very interested in the way that humans think and the way that our minds work. And I was first drawn into sports psychology because I've always heard of a lot of great coaches saying that when it comes to a race, you know, everyone's preparation physically, it's kind of, we're all kind of on the same level. It's what separates you from winning versus coming second, it's really all about the mind and how your mental preparation is and how your mind works at the moment of the race. And so I think it's really fascinating. And the reason why I was very interested in child psychology was because I realized that how a child grows up when they're really young can have like very long lasting effects into their adulthood, and it basically shapes their whole life. And so I just think all of this is very fascinating. And so I just want to know more about it.
So how long have you been studying this field?
For 4 years. Well, I graduated last year, okay. But eventually, hopefully I get to, after I'm done with swimming, go back to school and get another degree.
Okay, great. So what is the one thing, or maybe a few things that you have learned studying this degree that you were like, so light bulb moment, you were like, wow, I didn't know about that. Did you have anything in mind?
I feel like there are a lot of things. Well, one thing that I think it's pretty important to, whether you're an athlete or you're a kid or even an adult, is how important having a great social circle is. Like, you should always surround yourself with like-minded people, positive people who are always there for you, who can support you, motivate you, especially when you're going through tough times. Like, it's all about having the support and the community around you. And if you have like a cushion, like a support system, then you'll be a lot better off.
And why is that so important to have the right circle around you? And my follow-up question is, what kind of people do you need around you?
Yeah, so as an athlete, I think that's very important that you surround yourself with positive people. So that could be your parents, your teammates, your coaches, your medical staff, like your trainers, physio. It's important because as an athlete, like, we go through a lot, we train a lot and we do all these things to our bodies that, you know, it's just crazy and things get tough really quickly. And so having this great support system around you, they could definitely motivate you and push you. And also, you know, as an athlete, you face a lot of challenges, a lot of failures. So it's great to have someone there who can just remind you that you're doing a good job, that you're doing great. And yeah, so you just need this support system around you, people who are positive and can just keep you insane.
Yes, and I guess to have someone as well you can really talk to, because as an athlete, sometimes you go by the high are very high, but the lows are very lows as well. So having someone you can really like talk to and just like, tell them everything you have on your heart, I think it's quite important too, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Especially if you have a bad meet or you have injuries or all these sorts of problems that you face as an athlete, it's important to talk to someone. Otherwise, you know, you can't just bottle up your feelings. You need to just talk to someone.
Have you ever managed to express your feeling, what you were, your emotions to other people where you were an athlete? Or is it something that you developed?
So I'm the kind of person where it's a bit harder for me to express my emotions. I don't know if it's because I'm an athlete and I'm just trained to like just focus on what's in front of you and just hide all of your emotions, or that's just me being an introvert. But over the years, I learned that it's important to let people know how you feel, especially if you're going through tough times. So 2 years ago, I have a foot injury, and it's still a problem right now, but it's getting a lot better. But back then, like, I wasn't expecting a foot injury, and it really disrupted my training, my competitions, and I have to pull out of a few meets because of it. And it was a very hard time for me because I couldn't train, but I really want to train, and I know I have like competitions that I couldn't go to. So I was very frustrated because no one knew what was going on with my foot. I was also like upset and sad that I couldn't train, and I just had a lot of emotions inside me. And so for a while I didn't tell anyone about like how I was feeling, what I was going through, but then eventually, like, I need to communicate with someone. At least I need to let my coach know how I'm feeling, and so he can adjust my training. Or sometimes, you know, it's the foot injury just really affected me so much that I need to, you know, talk to a teammate, a friend, or my parents to just get my emotions out. So I think that's very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe that, to your point, I think it's all about having the right circle around you, because it's not about expressing your feeling to whoever is in front of you, but having actually the kind of person with you so you can really feel confident, you can feel in full security, in a non-judgmental environment, so you can express yourself.
Yeah, and like, especially if you have a good relationship with those people and you trust them, and that's why you could open up yourself to them and talk to them.
Yeah, I usually tell the people I coach that they need like four people around them. They need a coach, so someone who can actually teach them the technical aspect, and right, we know everything around the technique pretty much. They need a mentor, someone who is inspiring, someone they can like project their dream. And they need a cheerleader most of the time it can be like a parent or your very best friend who is always there for you, like cheering for you no matter what, in an absolutely non-judgmental environment. And you probably need a friend, someone who can, like, you can talk to, maybe cry on their shoulder when you need to, someone who is not going to judge you and who is there to support you and who can hear actually all your confidence.
Yeah, I really like that idea. I've never thought of it, like, I never saw it in this perspective, but yeah, I think everyone needs at least 4 people and definitely a cheerleader.
So who is your cheerleader? Is it a friend? I don't need a name.
It could be a friend or maybe my mom. Just because, yeah, she's been through a lot with me. And I think every time I have any problems, I go to her and she always shows me the positive side and make sure that everything will be okay. So I think she's my cheerleader.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I think this is something I want to express to the parents as well and to the kids, that they have to express how they feel to the right people. And for the parents, they have to create this environment for the kids so they can, and especially kids actually who are in this elite sport, so they can really like express how they feel, because there is this cooker pressure sometimes where the kids keep everything for themselves at a young age, and then at some point the pressure is so high that boom, it bursts.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I wanted to go into the field of child psychology and child development, because I think it's important from a young age to let kids know that it's okay to like show your emotions. And it's actually a good thing to talk to people. And it's not a sign of weakness if you ask for help or if you're talking about your feelings, because that's a healthy way of doing it. And so hopefully from a young age, they build this habit of talking to people, asking for help, finding the support that they need. And so they could continue on with this habit when they grow up.
Yeah, that's great advice, definitely. And you started swimming at a very young age. You started at 4 years old, right?
So I started swimming because I think, you know, living in Hong Kong, it's always so hot in the summer. And so my parents would take me to a pool just to swim. It came to a point, well, I have a sister who's 2 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And it came to a point where they couldn't teach my sister because she wouldn't listen to them. And so my parents sent her to a swim club to learn how to swim. And when I was 4, my parents were like, you know what, you should go as well. So that's how I started how to swim.
Did you like swimming right away?
I think I was fine with it. I didn't really like it. I didn't hate it. But then as I got older, I went from the swim club to the swim team. And that's when I really disliked swimming. That's when we were training, I think, around 3 to 4 times a week. But I thought swimming was so boring because you're just swimming up and down the lane and all you see is the black line. You put your head down. You can't talk to anyone. So I thought it was really, really boring at first. But then I started making friends, and I also started seeing results in when I go to competitions. So I think that's how I slowly gained more interest in swimming.
So what role were your parents playing in that? Were they telling you, no, you've got to go, even though it's a bit boring, even though you don't like it, maybe you're crying, you still have to go? Did they say that?
Yeah. So they wanted me to swim at the beginning was because my dad thinks it's like a life skill, swimming, especially in Hong Kong. If you go to the beach or the ocean or whatever, at least I could save myself. Yeah. So that's how I got into swimming. But then slowly on, I think my parents wanted me to keep swimming because it's, it's a form of exercise. Even though I was doing other sports as well, they wanted to give me options and make sure I was doing different things. So I'm kind of developing all-roundedly. But then later on, I think a lot of coaches told them, you know, like Siobhan, she's kind of talented. Like you might want her to keep swimming just to see where she can go. And also I think my parents just want me to develop all the skills that you'll learn as being an athlete, you know, like discipline, determination, and all those sort of stuff. So they did give me the option to give up and stop swimming, but then I think at that point I was like, you know what, I've been swimming for so many years, might as well just keep swimming.
But I think that's exactly true. Like every time you try something new, whether it's a sport or maybe it's a new skill that you want to acquire, at the beginning we try for many different reasons. And then at some point we kind of like hit a wall where it's so hard, it's so painful, and we don't want to do that anymore. And sometimes you just have to push through this wall to see where it leads. And I see people talking about you need to find your passion. But passion does not happen like that. It does not happen instantly. It's sometimes all about exploring, pushing a little bit, making the unfamiliar familiar, so you can really find actually what you love. So passion is not something that happens instantly. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. As I said, I started off disliking swimming, but now I love swimming. Especially when I went to the US for college over the 4 years, that's when I really found my passion towards swimming. I had a great team who I train with every day, and my coaches are amazing. And then I get to go to all these different competitions, and that's when I really realized that, oh, like, you know, swimming isn't just about swimming up and down the pool. There are so many different aspects to it, the technique side, the mental side. You know, I get to travel, I get to meet all these new people. So I think that's really fascinating. And then after I graduated from college in 2019, I became a professional swimmer. So I've been a professional swimmer for a year now. And this year, I just fell more in love with swimming, because when I was in college, I was kind of swimming for the team and I had the whole team to support me. But this year I could really focus on myself and my achievements, my success. And I put more time into swimming, and that's when I really, you know, I found my passion. And so I really agree that passion doesn't happen instantly. It could be a very long process. It took me 20 years before I realized like swimming is my passion. So yeah, I absolutely agree with what you said.
And I just would like to bounce back on what you just said about coaching, and you say that you had a great coach. So I don't want any name, doesn't really matter, but with your experience going through a lot of different coaches, what advice could you give to a coach? What makes a good coach, beside the technical aspect of it, of course, but I'm talking more in terms of interaction with the keys, about the mental, the mind, all these kind of things. What kind of advice would you give to a coach?
I think it's important for a coach to realize that each athlete is an individual and they're not all the same. I mean, yes, I understand it's so hard to write a program for every single different athlete, but you could always make modifications. And you know that maybe this athlete is having a great day today, but on the other hand, this other athlete may not be having the best day. So it's important that you communicate with them, ask them, how are you feeling? Is this okay? Like, can you do this set? Do you need modifications? To realize that, you know, one size does not fit all. You have to spend a bit more time with each individual and each athlete to know what they need, because everyone is so different. Not everyone needs the same thing. But you also have to understand their personalities. Sometimes it's good that you can push an athlete. Like maybe they just need that extra bit of motivation, that extra bit of push to you know, succeed. But then on the other hand, there are athletes who keep pushing themselves, and sometimes you need to give them a break, like tell them to, you know, take a break, stop a bit before they keep going. So understand what your athlete is like, talk to them, make sure you're giving them what they need and what benefits them the most.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. It's a balancing act, and it's a lot about being in the moment, being fully present for the athlete. And what do you say in terms of athletes? In the professional world, that's pretty much the same as well. Like managers, in a way, they are a bit like coaches. and they should probably reflect on that as well, which is good advice.
Yeah. So, yeah, just make sure you know what kind of people you're dealing with and what works best for them, because not everyone is the same.
So I would like to go back to one thing that one of your coach say. I think it was one of your coach in Hong Kong, and he said, "Well, Shivan, she's so good because she had the perfect combo. She has the right body type, and she has," he said, "the the right mentality or something like that? Okay, to be fair, that's a question that I should ask him. But what do you think? What do you think he meant actually with the right mentality? What is it?
I think it's just, you know, you have to be very positive, because things don't always go your way, but also being very determined and focused, never lose sight of your goals. Mm-hmm. So I think having those two combinations is kind of a good thing, because sometimes you may not lose sight. Sometimes you know what your goal is, but when you're in the grind and you just keep going and going, sometimes you have like all these difficulties and challenges. Mm-hmm. If you're not positive, you can give up very easily. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think it's just being determined, focused, and positive.
How do you set up your goals? Do you have a particular technique to share?
I don't set very specific goals, because I never want to limit myself with my goals, because I never know what I can do. So my goals are very basic in terms of swimming. I just want to do a best time every time when I race. So that's my goal. But of course there are like dreams that I want to achieve, but those are kind of out of my comfort zone, something that I don't know if I could achieve, but it's kind of also in my reach. So yeah, I have like dreams and goals, but goals are more realistic. They're just kind of basic, but it's also pretty hard to achieve.
Yeah, I like that, what you said about I don't really have expectations because I don't want to limit my goals. I don't want to limit what I'm able to do. I think that's a very important point. We set a limit to our potential just because this is easier, probably. But in fact, our potential is pretty unlimited. And yeah. What I tend to tell people is like, yeah, get a clear dream about what you want to do. But instead of like setting a goal that can be sometimes limiting yourself, don't set expectations. Don't set expectation, mm-hmm. but set intention. As you just said, like your intention was, okay, to do the best time every time, to do your yeah. best at every session. I think that's a really, really good advice.
Because I feel like in the past when I set very specific goals, like I want to hit this time, I just kind of, for some reason, I just don't really achieve them. So then I set like a more general goal, but then most of the time, that's when I exceed my expectations and do better than I expected.
Yeah. Because the brain is like so good at doing exactly what you want him to do. So if you say, okay, I want to do 1 minute. Okay. You break 1 minute. That's it. It's done. 59.99 is okay.
yeah, exactly. So you just have to not set a limit.
Yeah, exactly. That's very true. So going back to your childhood as a young athlete and putting that in perspective now that you are a full adult, that you're a professional swimmer. And swimming is such a good sport for kids. It's such a popular sport as well. But to be fair, I can see a lot of like tiger dad and tiger moms pushing their kids. And not trying to influence your answer on that, but what advice would you give to parents who have kids doing swimming, whether they are kids with a lot of potential or kids for which we don't see a potential yet? What advice would you give them?
I'd say let the kids be kids, like let them have fun, enjoy what they're doing. You never want to push them too hard when they're young because that could easily lead to burnout. I think my parents did a pretty good job at that. At first they didn't really allow me to quit swimming, but at least at swim meets, they're not like, you have to hit this time, you have to swim all these events and races or whatever. They still give me the freedom to do other sports and, you know, just don't push them too much because they're just kids. And, you know, with school and everything else, they also feel the pressure. And so just let them have fun and enjoy what they're doing.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. And I'd like to talk as well about the pressure of expectation. Because from a young age, you were telling me that a young age, like people were coming to your parents and they were telling telling them, oh, you've got a potential, you can do so well. You mentioned that they were talking to your parents. Did your parents talk to you about that, telling you, well, you've got a potential, people say you can do well at high level, or it was something that you learned later? Or
yeah, they never told me when I was younger. I didn't learn about it until maybe a year or two ago.
Oh. Okay.
So yeah, which is great. I actually preferred it that way. Yes, so I didn't really have a lot of pressure when I was younger. So that was good.
I think this is such a good way to handling that, because a lot of kids probably put a lot of pressure on their kids, and then it ends up actually not being so good for the kids. But I really like that you only learned about it like 2 years ago. That's pretty amazing. They did a pretty good job keeping that from you.
Yeah, I'm glad they did that.
So moving forward anyway, like 2013, if I'm correct, you got a gold medal at the Junior World Championship. So at this point, there is no way you can ignore that you got a talent and that you could do well at high level. I'm pretty sure that at this point you had people expecting from you. You had maybe distractions. How do you deal with this? Let's talk about that first. How do you deal with these new expectations? Once you reach a certain level, then, I mean, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with what is coming next, with the expectation of what is coming next?
Yeah, so I, at that meet at Junior World Champs, I never expected to swim so well, never expected to win a medal. I was so shocked and surprised by everything. And that's when people started noticing me and realizing, oh, like there's this girl from Hong Kong. She's kind of fast. Like maybe she could be big in the future. But I was still very young back then. I didn't really think too much. And I know people, there are some kind of expectations around me, but I try to like not really listen to it and not really care so much about it and just focus on myself, my training. But you know, back then you're young and fearless. Like you feel like you can do anything.
Do you feel that you have always been like that, like fearless and believing you could do anything?
I think maybe I struggled a bit when I was younger. I know maybe deep down I know I could do it, but sometimes I'm still lacking the confidence in knowing that I can actually do it. So I'm glad I had good coaches who keep telling me, like, you can do it. Like, you just have to believe in yourself. Like, I know you can do it based on your training. I wasn't always like that, but I feel like I'm getting better at it.
Yes, and as you say, you start seeing results, and then it kind of, like, strengthen your self-belief. Yes.
It's like a snowball effect.
Yeah, exactly. And what advice can you give, maybe you have, because the snowball effect unfortunately works in both ways. It works on the positive way, and sometimes we can see athletes, they reach the top and they kind of like get scared because it's like, gosh, how can I even match that? How can I do better than that? Okay, I'm a world champion, and so what next, you know? And it's hard actually to kind of like keep the momentum. So like thinking about that, how do you see yourself keeping the momentum? You did so well in college. Now you're a professional athlete. You got the Olympic Games next year and so on and so on. so how do you see yourself keeping up this momentum?
Yeah. I think you just have to be hungry for more. After you achieve your goal, you just have to set another goal. Like I feel like, to me, success isn't just one final stop. Success is like constantly moving. After you're done with this step, you move on to the next one and the next one and the next one. So you just have to keep going and make sure that you set new goals, you have new dreams. So you're not just like here and be content with your past achievements, and always just look forward to the next big thing.
Yeah, you seem to be really enjoying the journey and really focusing on the journey more than the like the end goal. There is no end goal for you, is it?
I don't know. I don't know where the end goal is. maybe if I reach there, then I'll know. But as of right now, I feel like I still have a pretty long way to go.
Yeah, I like that, and I think that's probably one of the key of success. Like, it's really like enjoying the journey, giving your very best at every moment through the journey, and as you say, you will know when the end goal is there. You don't have to focus on that.
Yeah, exactly.
And do you think that's the same thing with happiness? Because you look like a pretty happy person, always smiling.
Yeah, I think I'm a pretty happy person for the most part, and yeah, I feel a lot of things in life bring me joy and happiness, and I try to, it's all about those little things, you know.
And how do you manage to keep this life balance? Because it's something that we hear a lot, especially with young athletes. It seems that the parents believe that they have to choose. It's either you do well at school or you do well at sport or you do well in life, but you've got to make a choice. And still, you are the example that it's possible to be highly successful at school, highly successful in life, I mean, with friends, having a good life balance, and highly successful in your sport. So are you an exception, or is it something that can be learned?
I don't think I'm the exception. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who could do well in whatever they're doing in life. It's really about finding the balance. When I was choosing for colleges, I made sure I wanted to go to somewhere where I could swim and study at the same time. And so I looked at universities in the US, and then eventually I found University of Michigan, and I really enjoy it. And I think it was the perfect place for me, because obviously the swimming program is amazing. It's also an amazing school. And we really emphasize on being a student athlete. So you put a student before anything. And and the coaches and all of my teammates were all about managing school and swimming. And so having people around me who have the same goals as I do, who want to excel in both things, really made it a bit easier. I think it's all about time management, making sure you know what your priorities are and what you want to achieve in life. And for me, it's when I was younger, what I wanted to achieve was to do well in both in the classroom and in the pool. And so that was my goal, and I just did what I had to do.
Yeah, what you're talking about is really having clarity. And this is something that I can see with a lot of elite athletes. They have an absolute clarity on what I would say their life at the moment should look like.
Yeah.
So what is it like actually studying at the Michigan University? Because I was told, maybe I'm wrong because I haven't checked that, so I was expecting to discuss that with you. I was told that they are pretty strong on all the mind training, the mental thing. So can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, at University of Michigan, we, apart from it being a really good school, we also have a great sport facility, and like all of our sports were also really good at it, and so they really offer a lot of support for student athletes, apart from obviously your training facility, the weight room, the training room where you do your recovery. We also have a nutritionist for each team, or sports psychologist that you can see, and even have supports for your academics, like we have tutors and stuff. So they really make sure that they're supporting their athletes so that they could succeed in whatever they do. And in terms of like mind training, we have sports psychologists that are amazing at what they do. You could go see them individually, or from time to time, the coaches would invite the sports psychologists to like the team, and so that they could talk to the team. And we would sometimes do like mindful meditation or yoga, or just like a pep talk before a big meet, you know. So there are different ways that the university provides resources to help student athletes, not just in physical training, but also in mental training.
So how does that help you to have like a prep talk before a meet, for example? What does that do to your mind or even to your performance at the end of the day? Because I guess it's all about getting the right performance.
Yeah. So I think at that point, you know, maybe a week or a week and a half before your big meet, all the training that you've done, you've already put in the hard work. Like, the work is there. What you have to do is prepare your mind, prepare yourself to put in the racing mode to make sure you could be in peak performance on the day of the competition.
Yeah.
Having a pep talk before a big meet is important, because I think it's just like the last bit of reassurance to tell yourself that you've got this, like giving you more confidence, like you could do this. So sometimes if you're not as confident, it's, you might need someone else to tell you, like give you the validation, give you the confidence that you need to reach the final stage of like peak performance.
Okay. And what about the mindfulness meditation?
So in mindfulness meditation, we do it throughout the year, especially during hard trainings. Because sometimes when you're just training and you have school and you're stressed, sometimes it's hard for your body to relax and de-stress. So it's nice that someone would come in and we'd have like a 20 to 30 minute session where we're just basically laying there. And, you know, if you fall asleep, that's completely fine. That's kind of the goal of it. you can just relax and take a deep breath, slow down a bit. So it's really nice to just, it's a nice way for you to decompress. And we also do like visualization. But I realize like visualization doesn't really, it's not as effective on me, because sometimes I feel like the more I think, the more stress I get.
Okay.
And so, but it works for other people. I know I have teammates who would definitely visualize every single part of their race before the competition. And so, you know, you just have to find out what works for you, what doesn't, and see how you can use that to your benefit.
So yes, are you still practicing meditation?
I try to, especially if I can't fall asleep at night or if I travel and with the time difference and everything, I like to, I think meditation kind of helps. What I do is I just go to YouTube and find like a sleep meditation video for like 10, 15 minutes and, or something like that, or you're like, you have an app that you could use. So yeah.
I will send you some of my meditation as well. I'm a big fan of meditation.
Perfect.
And because the way I see meditation to me is more like it's the gym for the mind. So it's really a way actually to train your mind. As an elite athlete, you guys are being trained to have certain part of your brain that works extremely well. The ability to be in the moment, 100% there. This is something that you have to develop. But meditation can be really a way with specific kind of meditation to work just on that. And it can help people who don't have this natural faculty or haven't developed this faculty, as well as developing the emotional awareness, connecting with what's happening, what is triggering you, which maybe can help you to make your visualization more effective.
Yeah, please send them to me. I'm really- Try it.
Yes, I will send that to you. So I have one more question as well about, so now you are a professional athlete. So it means that you're, I mean, for you going to the office means being training or racing with the best in the world.
Yeah.
So what is it like to be training with Kati Ledecky and all these guys? But maybe, I mean, I think she's probably your age, right? So she was probably not an idol when you were young, but how is it like training with these guys, racing with these guys, like having lunch with them?
Yeah, it's, it was a bit weird at first, because especially racing with all these top swimmers, because I never saw myself as a top swimmer, even though like people keep telling me, oh, like you're one of them now, but I never felt like that. So like deep down, you know, if I look at other swimmers like, oh, Sarah Sorsham or Katinka Hosu, like I see them and I'm like, oh, like I'm still a fan of them. But then at the same time, I also like they swim next to me when we race. So it's kind of interesting feeling. But no, like at the end of the day, they're still humans, like even though they're like world record holders, Olympians, Olympic medalists and stuff, but they're still human and they're like all really nice and friendly. And it's nice knowing that even though like in my mind, they're like superstars, but deep down, they're just really down to earth and really nice people.
I mean, being with these people, does that help you to, do you learn new things maybe that you can use mentally? Do you see them and you're like, oh, okay, maybe I can pick up a few things from them? Not technically, I guess you do that constantly, but I was on the mind side.
Especially on how everyone deal with competitions or like how they prepare themselves mentally. It's kind of different for everyone. And some people actually like to meditate right before their race, and some people like to listen to really loud music, or some people are just really positive, even after if they have like a terrible race, they're still really positive. And so I think there are different things that you can learn from everyone, and you know, try it out and see what works for you, what doesn't. And yeah, I'm sure you can learn something from everyone.
So what is the what is the next step now? It's a bit weird now because you are stuck at the in Hong Kong at the SI. Oh, and I've got a question about that, by the way, because so now you are at the SI, so you can see a lot of different athletes doing a lot of different sports. Do you actually mix with them or not too much?
So during training, no, but we have a canteen here, and
Okay.
so I would see them during meals. Yeah.
And do you actually notice like different kind of personality depending on the sport? Or do you feel like there is a common trait around among all elite athletes?
I think you definitely notice differences. You see some people who they always eat with different people, even though like they have a lot of friends that eat with different people from different sports every day. And then you also see some people who just like to sit by themselves. Maybe like the eating time is their only alone time, and so they just like to take it easy, relax. But yeah, you definitely see different personalities here, and it's kind of interesting.
And do you think these different personalities are across one particular sport, or they are just like pretty random?
I think maybe it's pretty random. Yeah.
Okay, so there is room for everyone. Like you can have every kind of personality and still become an elite athlete.
Yeah, definitely.
And what do you think about hard work, preparation, mindset versus talent? How much should we weight talent versus preparation, hard work, and all these things?
I think it's great if you have talent in whatever you do, because that's kind of the first step. But I don't think talent is everything. I think it's, the hard work you put in, your mindset, how positive you are, the way you think. Those are more important, because talent can only take you to so far. So then you really need the other stuff to supplement that. And if you want to go further and you want to achieve more, you really need hard work and a positive mindset.
Yeah, talent is sometimes a head start, but yeah, if you don't put the hard work and the right mindset, like you won't get
Yeah.
far. And it's good because
Exactly.
you seem to have absolutely everything.
Well, I don't know, but I try to do my best.
Well, we are approaching the end of this interview. So before I thank you, I would like to acknowledge you for being such an inspiration for the young people in Hong Kong, but for everyone else as well. I'm a big fan. So thank you
You
very much. I want to acknowledge you as well for being such a positive person. And
Thank you.
for showing that it's possible to be an elite athlete, a well-balanced person, and do very well at school. So I think that's a message that is very important at the moment. So I want to acknowledge that for you. And my last question. So knowing everything you know now, imagine that you can go back in time and you had an opportunity to talk with yourself at a young age. At what age would you go back? And what would you tell the young Shivan?
Ooh, this is a good one. I need to think about it. I think maybe I'd go back to really young me when I was still disliking swimming. Maybe when I was like 6 or 7 or 8. Just to tell myself, like, find joy in everything that you do. Find joy in swimming, because swimming would be a really big part of your life, and you do not want to give up right now. Like, you can push through it, and there must be something that you enjoy about swimming. And don't focus on the negative. Don't focus on how boring it is. Focus on like the fun stuff that you get out of swimming. And yeah, don't give up.
All right. Thank you very much for being with me today. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I wish you the very, very best for what is coming next.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Cheers. And if you have enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share with a friend and subscribe. See you in the next episode.